There's a guy by the name of Paul Salopek who is walking around the world in 10 years. And I like the way that he describes walking. He calls it falling forward. And I think that's a great image for me of the Christian life, is falling forward. Paul Salopek is writing this blog for National Geographic where he is documenting his 10-year journey around the world by foot. And he describes it this way. He says, walking is falling forward. Each step we take is an arrested plunge, a collapse averted, a disaster braked. In this way, to walk becomes an act of faith. We perform it daily, a two-beat miracle, an iambic teetering, a holding on and letting go. For the next 7 years, I will plummet across the world. I am on a journey. Isn't that neat? Isn't that a wonderful way of thinking about it? I think we are on a journey as well. We are walking from a past that is full of experiences and circumstances that we can never seem to retrieve or recreate, and we are going forward to a future that is yet to be determined, that we cannot yet see. The Bible tells us that for everything, there is a season. And if you've looked out the window, you've no doubt seen that we are in the middle of a seasonal change right now. As I was driving the kids to school on Wednesday, Christian, as we were pulling out of the driveway, he was sitting in the back seat and he just said, "Wow!" And I said, "What's going on, buddy?" "Dad, look at how yellow that tree is." And then as we drove down, "Oh, look at that red one and that purple one and that orange one." And it was like, I don't know if, we have one of those video monitors in our van. Maybe he's been spending too much time looking at the video monitor and not enough time looking at the video monitor outside the windows. But this is why we live in the north, right? This, to see these seasonal changes. And we're in a seasonal change here at WPC as well. And this is a season in our kind of church rhythm in which we start to reflect on the subject of generosity and our response to the grace and the love and the mercy that God gives us in Jesus Christ. And this is a season where committees in our church start to look at last year and then think towards next year as we start to work on our goals and ministry needs for the coming year and then present you all with our proposed budget for the year. So we're starting to get into a season where we're thinking about finances, we're thinking about money, but more importantly, we're thinking about generosity and our response to God's generosity. And we recognize over and over again that we are on a journey that is somewhere between well begun and well done. Because that's what we want to hear when we meet the Lord someday. We want him to say those beloved words to each one of us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Well, how do we get from well begun to well done? And I think it starts by hearing what Paul writes to the church in Philippi when he says, "He who began a good work in you will be faithful." So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to look together at these first 11 verses of the book of Philippians. And each week, we're going to look at how our journey from well begun to well done begins and ends with gratitude. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, there's this moment where creation sort of bursts into reality, and there's singing, and there's praising, and there's worship, there's communion with God. And at the very end in Revelation, as we read this morning, there will be worship. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. It begins and it ends with gratitude. So I want to invite you, as you are able, to stand with me as we hear this morning from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, starting with verse 1. And when I'm done reading, I'll say, "This is the word of the Lord," so that if you believe it to be true, you can respond by saying, "Thanks be to God." Listen carefully. We're reading God's holy word. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrances of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in my defense of the gospel. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but what we just read never will. Amen, and you can be seated. At the beginning of this one of most Paul's beloved letters is, and in one of his most encouraging correspondences, there's an interesting thing that happens. It's something kind of funny, and I was kind of thinking about it this week. Is Paul really saying thank you to the Philippians? Those of you that have kids or that have siblings are no doubt familiar with a subtle little rhetorical trick that we use with one another. It's called the non-apology apology. Are you familiar with this? It goes something like this. "I'm sorry that the name that I called you made you feel that way." Or, "I'm sorry that me getting to do that fun thing while you had to stay at home and do that unfun thing made you feel the way it is." It's not really an apology. You're not really saying sorry to the person. You're saying sorry because they feel a certain way, and we call that the non-apology apology. So when Paul says, "I thank my God in all my remembrances of you," is this like a non-thanks Thanksgiving? Is he sort of circumventing, actually thanking them? I think it's actually more. I think it's even more of a Thanksgiving. And here's what I mean by that. When Paul wrote this letter from prison, either in Ephesus or Rome, to one of the first churches in Europe, this beloved church in Philippi, the letter says that he sent a man named Epaphroditus. The Philippians sent a man named Epaphroditus to minister to Paul while he was in prison. Typically, when people were in prison, they didn't provide a lot of needs. So if he was going to receive some of his basic needs of food and water and companionship and that they would come in and people would minister to folks in jail the way that we sometimes do as well. And so Paul then writes this letter. He writes this thank you letter. It's a correspondence that he sends back with Epaphroditus to the church in Philippi. And he's saying, "I thank my God for you." I think that this is actually even more significant of a gratitude, more significant of an appreciation. "I thank my God for you." Do you see what's happening? He said this expression of gratitude is now not just a two-way correspondence, but it's a three-way correspondence, sort of a triangular relationship. Scholars have written that the cultural backdrop of the church in Philippi is this, what they call the ancient brokerage system, in which when a transaction takes place, they wouldn't just take place between two parties, a patron and a client, but that there would be this third party that would be a part of the transaction. There would be the patron, who is the gift giver, who would then bestow some sort of gift or generosity that was intended for a client, but instead of giving it directly to the client, the patron would give the gift to a broker, who would then bring that gift and give it to the client. So for Paul, The Philippian church was sort of this conduit. It was this broker through which God's mercy and God's love and God's grace was being shown to him. They were the conduit through which those things flowed down to Paul while he was in prison. And so when Paul thanks the Philippians, he's thanking them as being the conduit, being the channel through which the giver, the patron, was able to pass those blessings down. The blessings of God flow down through the Philippians to Paul. It's this three-way arrangement. So what does this mean for us? What does this mean for us today? I think the first thing that I gathered from this is that this triangular relationship, this three-way relationship is with you wherever you go. God is involved in your relationships. Two people are never just two people. There's always a third party. In Ecclesiastes, it talks about the cord of three strands. And we use this in marriage illustrations. But it's not just a husband and a wife, but there's that third strand that gives the cord its strength, that gives it its stability. And in your relationships, the same is true. You and I, we share God's grace together, and God is always a part of our relationships. So think about it this way. It's not just that Paul and the Philippians have this common doctrinal bond together, that the two of them both believe in grace, or they both believe in the risen Christ. I think we share God's grace in the context of all of our relationships, not just the relationships we share with other believers. When Paul's persecuted when Paul is persecuting the Christians in Acts chapter 8, he says that the risen Christ came to him and said, "Why are you persecuting them?" No, he says, "Why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me?" See, Jesus was already in that relationship between Paul and the church. God sees himself as the patron of all of our relationships, giving all good gifts to you and through you to the other, and through another to you. So I thank God for you. So that means in all of your relationships, it's not just you and them or me and you. For the believing woman, the believing businesswoman, God is with her client. God is there. God is already doing a work with that client that she is working with, or with that patient that he or she is working with. God is present in that relationship, and now it is you who have the opportunity to be a conduit through which God's mercy and grace and love and the gospel of Jesus Christ can flow into these relationships. This means that for the believing parent, God is present with your child's teachers and coaches, and you can be there to give something of God's grace to that person. We are the brokers of God's mercy and blessing to the world. This week, as we talked about, Rick Elliott, our music director, had to go into the hospital and undergo kind of an emergency surgery. A few days afterwards, he called me and he said, he was sitting in the hospital. He said, "I've come up with an idea. I have this idea for, you know, maybe our choir, but maybe it could be more than just our choir, that maybe we could provide some music ministry in a hospice setting. There are hospice choirs or hospice groups that come in, and they come into a hospital room where someone is near to death, and they surround that person's bed, and they sing them into the kingdom. They usher them from this life to the next in song, in music." This is something that my mom's side of the family does with family members all the time. When somebody is near death, the whole family will come into the hospital room and they will just start singing hymns. They'll just start singing those beloved songs, and they will serenade them. They will usher them into the kingdom of God. And I think what Rick was doing was acting responding to his sense that God was already at work in those rooms, and maybe we have an opportunity. Maybe there's a chance where we can be those conduits where that mercy and compassion and love and grace and the message of Jesus flows through us to someone else. God is already doing something in another's life, but we get to be members of that sacred triangle. Here's the second implication. Small is big. And this is the perspective of the broker. Your thank you helps me, the broker, or you, the broker, the thank you of the person, live into God's given value for my life. When we say thank you to somebody who has provided us, who has ministered to us, who has been a conduit for God's grace, we are acknowledging that God is at work in their lives. Paul is recognizing that the Philippian church has been the broker of God's grace to help him live into his calling. Not just I thank God for what God does, but I thank God for what you do. I thank God for what God is doing in you. This week, I had a chance to sit down with a person, and some of you did as well over the last couple of months. Her name was Emily Shydock. Emily is a consultant from Chicago who has come into our congregation to do some interviews for a feasibility study. And one of her first questions to me was, what do you like about this community? What do you like about this church? What do you love about this place? And my response was, well, how much time do you have? Because we could go on for a long time. I could have gone on for hours telling stories of God's kindness and generosity that have been displayed to us and that have been displayed to others through this congregation that is a part of that sacred triangle. Through you, God's blessings have flown out into our lives, into lives of members of our community, lives of people in our community that we may never have a chance to interact with on a Sunday morning. It's not just thanking God for what God is doing, but I thank God for what God is doing in you. I thank God for you. And lastly, the patron. Paul says to the Philippians, he who began a good work in you. God is the patron of this relationship and this triangle. And God is at work in your life. And sometimes we don't always know or we don't always see God in the middle, in that in-between, between well begun and well done. I know that for many of you, you've probably gone through seasons in your life where you have felt that absence or that quietness, and you've wondered if God is present. But Paul knew that it was true. Paul knew that Christ, that God was present. So how did Paul know? How could he be sure that God was still present with him in his imprisonment? Because he had met the Lord Jesus Christ. He had met the Lord Jesus Christ who died on Friday but was raised 3 days later on Sunday. Paul knew that God who is at work with you will bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus, but we still have to live in that Saturday together. And we live in that Saturday knowing that Friday is behind us, but we live in that Saturday knowing that Sunday is coming. It's the here, but not yet. We are all somewhere in between being well begun and well done. And when Paul wrote to the Philippians, they were still a new and developing church, but they were on their way because they embraced this idea that they were both the recipients of God's grace and the brokers of God's grace. They were a part of that sacred triangle. And I think this is how you and we think of ourselves as well. No doubt for every one of us, we could come up with a list a mile long for how God has blessed us. And it's good to be thankful, to think about things like this. But I think equally, and maybe even more interestingly, We are also the brokers. We are the ones through whom the message of God's grace and reconciliation through Jesus Christ can flow out through us. The road that is before us, the road is not always clear. It's not always obvious. Sometimes it's bumpy. But for Paul, it was imprisonment. For you, it might be a challenge of a different sort. But like Paul Salopak, we are all falling forward, knowing that it's into the tender arms and constant care of Jesus Christ that we are moving and that leads us forward. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you this morning and I invite each person here to express their gratitude for someone in their life, someone in our life who has been that broker, who has been that person of influence, who has allowed their life to be used and tender, to be conduits through which your goodness and your mercy can flow down to us and to others. Father, we thank you for those witnesses. We thank you for those who had faith to allow their lives to be messed up, to be messy, to allow them to be used so that the gospel might be proclaimed and that lives would be changed. Lord, thank you for this passage. Thank you for this correspondence and the way that it begins with this expression of gratitude. Lord, we thank you for your abundant mercy and goodness. May we not only be the recipients, but may we also look to see ourselves as usable for you, usable for these purposes. Let your light, let your hope, let your peace, let your grace live day by day into our lives. We pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.